So thank you so much for listening to UBC Happy Hour. That was a very happy hour right by the Wreck Beach Ocean. We are broadcasting from Musqueam territory and Coast Salish territory. Thank you so much. And if you like what you're hearing and would like to contribute to the show, or if you want to see something covered on the show, send us an email at ubcaffairs@cbitr.ca. I'm Julia Ferry.
Jen Brulé.
Lalaine Allen-Dogan.
I'm Alex Lenz.
And I'm Sadie Lai.
And we will see you guys next week.
Woo! Happy last day of classes, everyone!
Yay!
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
Conservation is the first and best resource option for BC. Do your part. Turn off the lights when you leave a room and unplug your cell phone charger when charging is complete. Visit bchydro.com to find out more ways you can make a difference. This message brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Randophobic is best thought of as an introversal jukebox which has no concept of genre, style, political boundaries, or even space-time relevance. But it does know good sounds from bad. Lately, the program has been focused on Philip Random's All Vinyl Countdown plus Apocalypse, the 1,111th greatest records you probably haven't heard. And we're not afraid of noise. Randophobic, every Saturday at 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. at CITR 101.9 FM.
It's not just rich people that own the media.
But by leaving out the most important things you need to know, they can elevate awareness to a new all-time low.
I own my media.
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 The Media Co-op is a grassroots national news network that's owned by its members.
But if it's just left out, can you say the paper lied? A lot of things that happened didn't happen after all. If there's no one in the forest who will put it in the news, I guess the tree didn't fall.
Join us today at mediacoop.ca/join.
I'm joining today. You should too.
Are you in need of any assistance today, sir?
No.
I could help you cross the street.
No.
Tired of a world of no when you have so much to give?
CITR and Discord got you with an outfit for all that stuff.
Volunteer Wednesdays are back in the CITR lounge.
It's an open house for members like you who are looking to meet cool people and get into the station.
Join up, meet some folks, help some causes, or just hang the freak out.
At the CITR Discord lounge from 1 to 3 every Wednesday for food and good times.
Well, I gotta help you cross something.
Woo. Make some noise for Tristan Wheeler and Jack Lamming. CIT on CITR Radio Pizza Party. What do you do?
Yeah.
What not?
Make it louder.
Make it louder.
Woo.
I'm hungry. Let's start the show.
Well, I guess you're old enough, I suppose. You should know the story. Okay, here we go. It was 1832. to on a night much like this. Charles Carroll was the last surviving signer of the Declaration of Independence. He was also a member of a secret society known as the Masons. And he knew he was dying. He woke up his stable boy in the middle of the night and ordered him to take him to the White House to see Andrew Jackson because it was urgent that he needed to speak to the president. But he never got the chance. The president wasn't there that night, but Charles Carroll had a secret. So he took into his confidence that one person he could, my grandfather's grandfather, Thomas Gates. It was a treasure that was been fought over for centuries by tyrants, pharaohs, emperors, and warlords. Every time it changed hands, it grew larger, and then suddenly it vanished. It didn't reappear for more than 1,000 years when knights from the First Crusade discovered secret vaults beneath the temples of Solomon. You see, the knights who found the vaults to believe that the treasure was too great for any one man, not even the king. They brought the treasure back to the great... back to Europe and took the name the Knights Templar. Over the next century, they smuggled it out of Europe and formed a new brotherhood called the Freemasons in honor of the builders of the Great Temple. War followed. By the time of the American Revolution, the treasure had been hidden again. By then, the Masons included George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, and Paul Revere. They knew that they had to make sure the treasure would never fall into the hands of the British. So they devised a series of clues and maps to its location. Over the time, the clues were lost or forgotten until only one remained. That was a secret that Charles Taylor entrusted to young Thomas Gates. The secret lies with Charlotte. You are listening to
Radio Pizza Party! Special episode!
CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from the University.
I'm a bursting at the seams with National Treasure Info.
The University of British Columbia, broadcasting live from the unceded territories of the Musqueam peoples. I am, of course, Tristan Wheeler. I'm not going to go back.
That's your last name? I'm Jack Lamming.
Very official today.
What's my middle name?
Andrew.
Thanks, Clayton.
That's my middle name.
Tristan Clay 2000 pounds.
So, Jack, what kind of what's the deal with our show in general? And then maybe we'll
so
move on to this position.
Typically, well, the original idea was we'd pick topics out of a hat with a guest and we'd discuss them for an hour, play some games. This week we thought, "You know what? I have a way worse idea." Forget the guests.
Forget it.
Forget the games.
Forget it.
Forget any type of picking topics randomly. Stop looking at yourself in that window.
I keep thinking I look weird right now.
Yes, you do, but that's not a difference. We're talking about the greatest movie I've ever seen. I've seen 4 movies.
What were the other 3?
It was Mac and Me 1 through 3.
Wow, I didn't know they did sequels to that one. What were those other ones about? Like, I know the first one's kind of like an E.T. ripoff. What's the other?
Well, the second one is an Aliens ripoff.
Oh, no, that sounds...
Yeah.
It's not a kid's movie.
Not as fun.
No.
Yeah. Well, it is actually how they introduced the Filet-O-Fish was through that movie. You'd be surprised.
Oh.
At how.
How?
It was a chest burster. And what? Then, what?
Do they call Mac and Me because it introduces the Big Mac?
Yeah. That's how they did it. They took that kid when he fell off.
That kid, that infamous scene of the kid in the wheelchair who
flies like
off
the Paul Rudd scene.
Yeah.
And then the alien revived him with a Big Mac, and that's how they got it. Mm. And then the third one is actually a ripoff of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. And that's where they got the idea for the McRib, was they looked at train tracks.
And they're like, that looks like a little something...
If only we could form pork into that shape. And then they made it in those weird pucks with a P. And they were like, hey, this looks like ribs. Look what we just took it off. Ribs.
Ribs.
Yeah. You ever had a McRib?
No. Have you?
Yeah. Not. Ooh. I wouldn't recommend. It's like they fully dip it in barbecue sauce.
And I don't like the idea because I know they only do it when pork prices are down or something like that.
That makes a lot of sense.
And that's why it's limited edition. But it just looks gross to me. I mean,
yeah, you know, I don't like things that are formed, that are made of something, that are made to like look like.
What about chicken nuggets, though?
Yeah, but they don't pretend to be.
That's
like,
true. They don't. Like, they shape them into chicken a
chicken. Nuggets are very open about what they are. Anyway, we're talking about National Treasure here.
Yes. So the topic for today is the film National Treasure. Me and Jack actually both watched this movie
when we were children. When we were
kids. Yeah,
when we were young. Like, when it was The Killers.
When it first came out, yeah. Probably 2005. It came out in 2004. I think I probably saw it on DVD.
I saw it on YouTube. It was back when YouTube was the Wild West.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like when, like, you know how you look up movies on YouTube now and you get some weird link where it shows one frame of the movie and then the bottom it's like, look us up at
movies.sl
or something like that. Yeah. But yeah, I used to watch it on YouTube like 40 times a day.
Wow, so you didn't really do much else for a certain period in your life.
Yeah, my days were 80 hours long too because it's a 2-hour movie.
Interesting.
It was a tough life living on the moon.
Is that, hey, it's a tough life living on the moon, as they...
It's my album name, too.
It's a hard knock life living on the moon. Yeah. So
who's the movie starring?
Well, I want to tell my experience of watching it.
Okay.
I remember when I first watched National Treasure, like I said, I saw it on DVD, probably rented it from Movie Gallery, which is the movie store in my hometown.
Is it still open?
No.
That's not surprising.
Yeah, why would it be? And I watched it, I remember being like, this is like the best movie I've ever seen. Hanging out with my buddy across the street, me and him would talk about National Treasure.
Is it Nick Morgan?
No, it was Tom Mitchell.
Hey, Tom.
Shout out to Tom.
Is Tom a cheeser?
I don't know if he is, actually.
You should text him.
I know he lives in, I do have his number.
Yeah.
I know he lives in the Lower Mainland, so. Yeah, so I remember it being as awesome as it was. I think
yeah,
you did too.
It was sweet. I was a kid. I was into history then as I am now, and I was like, you know what? This
even American
cool.
history. X.
The
what? Did you like that movie when it came out?
I've never seen it.
You've never seen it?
I refuse to.
It's a pretty good movie.
I don't like
it. Definitely
racism.
Unrelated to everything we're talking today.
Yeah.
But it's a good movie.
Should we pivot the episode?
Yeah, let's pivot to American History X.
Yeah, I was like, you know what? Founding fathers are pretty cool. They're hiding stuff in bricks. They're laying bricks. They're putting things in churches. I can't even put things in churches.
No, I can't even go to church because my parents probably didn't go to church knowing them. The heathens.
Those heathens of mine?
Yeah, the sinners. I go to church every day.
You go to church every day?
Yeah,
for
I'm a priest.
Long? You're a priest?
I work there.
Doing what?
Name
five things a priest does.
Baptizing babies. Marrying people.
You sound like you're talking about a menu at a restaurant.
Confessions.
Chicken parm.
And chicken parm if you're Roman Catholic. If you live in Rome, I imagine people are making a lot of chicken parms. I don't think that's...
I think chicken parm is a pretty American
Yeah,
that's
what
to
say.
It's good, though.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
a big fan.
Is it just fried chicken?
Yeah, fried chicken with mozzarella and tomato sauce.
Yeah.
Tried making it with Kraft singles and ketchup once. Not my finest move.
And chicken nuggets?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, they kicked me out of the McDonald's.
So, National Treasure is a 2004 American adventure heist film produced and released by Walt Disney Pictures.
Of course, it's a Disney.
Yeah, you know what I thought when I saw that little thing going through the castle?
What?
Of course, it's a Disney.
Yeah, it suits them.
Of course,
just playing with history.
Yeah, it was written by a guy named Jim Cove. Kauf.
How's it spelled?
K-O-U-F. Koof?
Cough. There you go. Thank you.
a married couple, Cormac and Marianne.
McCarthy.
Yeah. Cormac
Jeez,
McCarthy wrote this
really,
movie.
He took a pivot there. We're talking about pivots.
There's no punctuation in the entire movie when they're speaking. So
they talk really fast. They look really sad. And they shoot people and eat them.
Yeah.
So,
what is the
basic plot?
The basic plot. Who plays who?
Okay.
I also pan this over.
Yeah,
if you need
thank
to...
you, because I can't really... Can we pull up the IMDb? Oh, there it is.
Yeah,
I found it. Okay, so Nicolas Cage plays Benjamin Franklin Gates, which is quite the name, if you know anything about American history, as I don't.
What, is the Gates have anything to do with it?
He was the stable boy. Because that monologue you did,
no,
I don't think there was...
No, but I'm wondering, like, so Benjamin Franklin... Benjamin Franklin.
Yes.
Obvious. But the Gates, is that just to differentiate?
They just tried to make it sound like an old, English-American name.
Okay.
Nicolas Cage plays Benjamin Franklin Gates. This is on the tail years of Nicolas Cage as being any kind of romantic lead.
Yeah, this is kind of, I would say, nearing the cusp of when he goes off the rails.
Yeah. Diane Kruger plays Abigail Chase, who, as you may have guessed from the name, is a German woman.
A German-American.
Yes.
Who's just, a PhD in American history or something.
Yeah, she has a PhD in American history.
Which we'll revisit.
We'll revisit. Justin Bartha, as you may know from the guy on the roof in the Hangover movies, plays Riley Poole. Sean Bean plays Ian Howe.
Who's the antagonist.
Tidbit, Howe is the last name of two admirals in the Revolutionary Army.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was a conscious choice of the movie people.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, learn something.
He's
a Scottish man English man in the movie.
Issue in this movie then, Nicolas Cage's character, huge American history buff.
Shouldn't even known that.
He should have been wait a minute.
I feel like that was how they met.
How?
Yeah. That was how they met. Nicolas Cage and him were sitting next to each other at a bar. Howe paid, and Nicolas Cage, with those big peepers of his, looked at his credit card receipt and went, hey, one, you got a lot of money in your account. Two,
because he plays a rich
your
guy
last name's me. Howe.
Howe.
And Howe.
And, yeah.
Moving on, John Voight plays Patrick Gates.
Which is Nicolas Cage's character's father.
Harvey Keitel. Harvey Keitel plays Sadusky.
One of the counterculture actors, I would say, of the early 70s with Scorsese.
It's a bad movie.
Yeah.
And Christopher Plummer, who you heard Tristan inimitably imitate.
Yeah, that
plays John Adams Gates.
Who's there? He's hardly in the movie.
No, he's in two scenes. Yeah, I think that's pretty much all you need to know. The rest are just henchmen with one name. Or their first name is Agent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the movie begins. They're at the North Pole.
Wait, no, before that.
Oh, before that.
It begins with that my vowels are...
my marbles are full of mouth today.
Yeah. It begins with Christopher Plummer, who plays the grandfather.
Grandpapa.
So Christopher Plummer's the grandpa, John Voight's the dad, and then Nicolas Cage is the son.
The salsa. Salsa.
Yeah. They're eating salsa in this scene. Christopher Plummer kind of tells about the family history, and that's all you really see of him, which is kind of like that.
Yeah, and then smash cut to, it's the Arctic, filmed in Utah.
Is that true?
They're on two giant snow cats. It's one filled with henchmen for some reason, and then Sean Bean, Nicolas Cage, and Justin Bartha, who I will refer to as just Bartha from now on.
Yeah.
They're in a snowcat and they're talking. They're like, you know what, Hal? If I had an exposition, I wouldn't have been able to do this.
Yeah.
They introduce Riley as the geek. They get to this boat.
Riley, who is Justin Bartha's character.
Yes, Bartha. Sorry. They find this boat. They're looking around. They're like, this boat's got to be here somewhere. Here I go digging in again. They start looking in the snow.
I'm just looking at my notes and...
Okay.
I got
you
notes.
You didn't need to mention that.
When you see John, this is kind of going back a little bit to what you're saying, but when Christopher Plummer is doing the monologue, he's interrupted by John Voight trying to make him look middle-aged or young.
Yeah.
And he's wearing the most ridiculous wig.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I just think John Voight's wearing a wig at all times.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
But he comes and he's like, oh, what are you doing here, Dad? I'm a father in it's the 70s or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't
Can
need
to I talk?
That. Sorry. Yeah, sorry.
So they find this bell and they're looking, what? They're saying the secret lies with Charlotte. That's the clue.
That's the clue.
And they find the USS Charlotte or something.
Yeah, it's some boat.
Queen Charlotte, because America is very against that band. They find the Charlotte. They get into
her. We Will Rock You. They knew what they were talking about.
Yeah. They excavate this boat and they're like, you know what? It's got to be in here somewhere, what we're looking for. And they dig into this barrel, and what do they find?
Gunpowder.
They find a lot of gunpowder
in this boat,
and
they're all like,
they make a big show of dumping a bunch of it out on the ground.
And they're like, "Yeah, all this gunpowder. Psh, psh,
we don't need this." Scene Bean picks them up with his hand, very obviously. And they find this pap.
One point, Sean Bond picks it up and he blows it into the camera, and he's like, he winks and he says,
"Found
me.
Some."
Oh, I also found some's good.
They find this pipe. At which point, who betrays them?
Wait,
but Sean Bean.
Whoa, okay, I feel like you're jumping around.
Yeah, I need some help here.
Okay,
I've been explaining the plot for a while.
I know, that's what I'm like, maybe I'll, okay.
We only have so much time, it's already 20 past.
But, okay. Is it really?
Yeah, okay. It's moving quick, man.
Moving quick. So basically the idea is that they find a clue, which is this pipe in the boat.
They find a raging clue.
And he uses his blood to...
Yeah.
To do like some sort of scroll thing.
Yeah.
Not important. But essentially they figure out we need to steal the Declaration of Independence.
They get double crossed by Sean Bean. They have to steal the Declaration.
Well, the issue is I had with this movie, and I have it in my notes, and I think it's in all caps. This movie is not about him stealing the Declaration of Independence. It's about him protecting the Declaration of Independence from being stolen.
Yes.
Like, I thought in this boat scene would be that scene where he's like, "We're going to steal the Declaration." Here, I'm going to do my Nicolas Cage. "We're going to steal the Declaration of Independence, man." And, but he doesn't say that. He says, "No, we're not doing that." British guy says, "I'm going to do that." Threatens to shoot him. The boat explodes because he drops a flare in the thing.
You did not write that in all caps. I can barely read your writing, and even I know that's not all caps.
Okay, well, it's underlined.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? You're an English lit major, and I'm going to bring that up all the time, apparently. Well,
so what did you think at this point in the movie, what did you think was going to happen?
I was hoping Sean Bean was just going to blow up the boat and leave him for dead.
And that'd be the movie?
Yeah.
It'd be like 10 minutes long?
Yeah.
That'd be much better.
Yeah. Hey, I'd be so happy. But if they didn't use stuntmen? When in scenes where people die, do the stuntmen die too?
Yeah, that's kind of why it's such a
lucrative job.
Is that if you do get shot, you do get thrown off of buildings and stuff, but if you do survive, oh baby.
Well, do you think you're rolling life in the dimes if you're
Well, you don't get it when you die.
No, but does your family, like, will life insurance companies insure you if they're like, "He's a stuntman, dude. He's got like 3 months."
Maybe. I don't know. Why don't we call an insurance company later?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's call State Farm. Like a good neighbor. They're going to be there.
Hey, they didn't pay us for that. You can't say that.
Oh, sorry. That's not our ad reads portion. Okay. Because
we're like a podcast.
What did you think was going to happen?
I thought, this is going to get crazy. This is going to get wild.
I feel like you were like adjusting your chair, like, whoa.
No.
Here we go. Yeah. Yeah, you're like messing with the arms of
Jack
your chair.
That's Jack adjusting the arms of his chair.
Loudly.
And I was like, I sense an adventure a-brewing.
This is going to be a fun-filled romp, suitable for kids 8 to 13.
And maybe the adults will have a little bit of fun, too.
I think they would. Okay, so what happens next?
Well, they basically figure out that Nicolas Cage needs to steal the Declaration of Independence before Sean Bond steals it.
Yes.
And they steal it with just two guys.
Yeah. In a van.
Which blew my mind. So
how do they do it?
Why don't you explain how they did it?
All no, right.
But
okay,
yeah,
I will.
Because Justin Bartha's in the car. He's like
Bartha.
Bartha is in the car.
He hacks into the security feed, and he does that like classic heist thing of looping the security feed so it looks like it's all good, which is weird because there's guards patrolling.
Mm-hmm.
So be like, "Where'd that guard go?" Anyway, Nicolas Cage, how does he get in? Oh yeah,
he pretends to be like a
he gets like a security pass.
Yeah, he does that thing.
He pretends
to be an academic.
Anyway, he gets in.
He gets in.
He's in the thing. He's like drilling the back off of the case because it's down there for like preservation or something.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Howboy,
Jack Howen? Is there any relation to Howen that we had on the show?
It's Jack Howen's dad.
Wow, weird.
He like breaks in, which is the most obvious thing in the world. They like hammer through a wall,
mm-hmm.
like rip a door apart,
And it's like, I think it is an attest to the skills that Bartha and Cage have, is that they just need two guys. They don't need to explode anything. Well, as Howman, he's got like four guys and explosions and guns.
Yeah.
Screwed up.
So anyway, their paths converge as Nicolas Cage waits for an elevator. Yeah. He's holding this giant display case because he didn't have time
to unscrew it. He's got the Declaration of Independence. He uses it as a friggin' shield.
Yeah, because the thing's got bulletproof glass. He's like, what do I do? So he holds it up. Boom, doesn't think bam, to crouch
bam,
behind
bam,
it.
Bam.
No, he just holds it up. His head's still exposed. This guy's running towards him shooting, which... I think you'd be safe if somebody's running towards you shooting a gun.
Yeah, I imagine you don't get very accurate with that.
So after that, gets in the elevator, unscrews it.
Bam.
Sneaks it. Sneaks it into like a poster tube that just appeared. Or no, he slides it in a plastic like bag.
Like a little wrapper.
And then he tries to like, he goes into the gift store. All right, you want to take over?
Goes in the gift store. This is good.
This part's it's such classic Turtletaub.
It's director John Turtletaub. This is like his hallmark. It's like
gift stores.
When you see movies by Scorsese, you know it's going to maybe have a little bit to do with crime in New York, or movies by like Kubrick, you're going to have maybe a little bit of an anti-hero. And you know, but with Turtletaub, always a gift store scene.
Yeah. It's like that Banksy movie, also directed by John Turtletaub.
So get this.
That's so wild.
This is so funny.
I love it.
So Cage boy,
what's he do?
He's got the Declaration like in his suit jacket, like kind of hidden around it, and he's in the gift shop and he's trying to hide from character Abigail Chase because she might realize he wasn't who he was.
Yeah.
Get to
oh yeah.
Yeah.
The gate's name isn't very respected because they're trying to look for boats
and
all
treasure.
The time.
They're trying to look for the national treasure. Okay,
I love that band.
He's in the gift store.
Do it.
He's in the gift store, and my neck.
Oh, you're being too happy.
He's being too happy. Got happy neck. So he's holding it in his jacket, and he's kind of about to leave, and then you hear a voice. Are you trying to steal that? And Cage is
who
like,
is it?
The jig is up, bro. He looks into the camera.
I've been jigged.
He's like, it's a. Hey.
The circles from Looney Tunes appear.
Yeah, it's like, dun 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 dun. And then it zooms back out. He's like, you trying to steal that? Then he looks. There's souvenir Declaration of Independence posters. She thinks it's a souvenir like poster.
It's $35. That's a lot of money.
Which is,
I think it's the poster.
I
don't say it.
I think that's the most accurate part in this movie is that souvenir, like gift shops, are expensive.
Yeah.
It's $35 in 2004 for a poster.
That's crazy. That is a lot of money. What does he do? He goes and buys it, but he doesn't have enough money. So what else does he do?
So he's like throwing money on there. He's like, oh my God, like 25, 26.
Oy, oy, oy. And then what else does he do?
You say it.
He pays with a credit card.
We accept
like a chump.
We accept Visa.
Anyway, okay, so he leaves, wanders out of the old building.
They realize it's stolen. Place starts locking down.
Abigail Gates says, oh, yeah. They realize it's stolen. Place starts locking down. He just books it.
He's like
a librarian. He just books it on out of there. So who realizes but Abigail Gates?
Abigail Chase. She chases after him.
Oh, that's where they got the name.
Yeah.
Hey. Okay. So he walks out with a magazine tube, an ornate leather magazine tube
that just appeared on his person.
He didn't walk in with one. He must have bought one at the gift store for around $1,000.
Yeah, because that's an expensive gift store.
Yeah. So she goes. He just gives her.
Oh, he just gives it to him. You're like,
what are you doing, man?
What are you doing? Giving it to her? She's going to give it to you're not going to get the.
Meanwhile,
the clue to get the treasure.
Barthy boy, he's just parked right outside.
In a van.
In a creepy red van.
Yeah. And then the How guys come. They kidnap Abigail Chase because they think.
More like kidnap Abigail.
They think that she has.
The old deck.
She has the deck of end.
Deck of end.
But it's actually, she's got the fake one. I think that's easy to clue in.
Yeah. They do a car chase.
They end up getting it.
Yeah, they end up getting it. How has a fake one. Yeah. All right. Move on. They now have to go, because he's paid with credit card like a chump.
They all know, now his identity is out there.
Yeah.
This is like in depth. I like this.
Yeah, we're gonna run out of time.
We are.
We have a half an hour.
Okay. We've gone to the first 20 minutes.
Should we skip through some scenes?
Okay, let's talk about the treatment of Abigail Chase.
It's not good.
It is not good at all.
Yeah, this movie's like, it's pretty 2004. Like, it's just casually demeaning.
It's like. The woman is kind of like the annoying mom character.
Yeah. Like, they go to her thing. They go to see Dr. Chase, mm-hmm. when she has a PhD.
Yeah.
And they go in. It's like they didn't check her first name or something. Because, like, Dr. Chase will see you now. Opens the door. It's a woman.
The doctor was a woman.
Oh, my
Literally.
God. Yeah.
It's like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
it's
get
like
it.
The joke.
Riley.
The old thing or riddle.
That's Riley
joke.
Says.
It's a punchline.
The doctor is hot. Or something to that effect. He says something like,
"Oh, she's cute." Or yeah.
And they're both like taken aback that a woman can have a PhD
in American history, and she's from Germany.
Yeah, as Nicolas Cage first thinks, like an idiot, that she's from Pennsylvania
and Dutch, which is weird.
Which is what a chump.
Who thinks
and
that?
So they sit down, and Nicolas Cage goes.
I don't remember these parts, actually.
That's a nice set of campaign buttons you got there. The George Washington's campaign.
I did not have this for that with that woman.
And she goes, yes, I'm missing. And he cuts her off and goes, the night of the 1788 inaugural. Like she doesn't know that. There's an empty space there, you chump.
And
there's all these scenes throughout the movie where she's trying to talk and he'll just cut her off and say the thing he knew.
Yeah. That happens a lot. That's the thing, like, when they kidnap her, basically.
Yeah,
like, when Nicolas Cage, the Cage duo, Barth and Cage.
The Rage Cage.
The Rage Cage Barth stage.
Rage Brigade.
The Rage Cage Barth. But Nicolas Cage is, like, pacing around, and he's trying to figure out the next thing in his plan. And she's like, keep this in mind, PhD in American history, obviously a very smart person. She keeps being like, oh, how about, and then he's like, shut up. Shut up. Yeah. I'm thinking. Why don't you shut up? I'm like, hey, what the heck? She could help.
All right. Should we skip about a good half
Let's
hour?
Let's skip.
Get back?
Okay. So.
Oh, wait. Should we go to a break?
We should go to a break.
Yeah. We have to do those. All right. We'll play a song by The National.
No, we're not going to do that.
Oh, come on.
1 second.
All right. We'll play.
Oh, no.
We're going to play some ads. We're going to play some PSAs. We're going to be right back. We're going to be right back into talking about John Voight's terrible performance in this movie. Sean Bean, he has a pretty good one, not going to lie. I liked him. Did you know that in a press tour, some journalist asked him, hey, if the treasure's real, where is it going to be buried? And he said, and I quote, you get this, if it's buried, it's buried somewhere in Sheffield, because that's where he's from, guys. And you know what he said?
That actually happened?
Yeah.
That you know sounds what he said? So annoying.
You know what he said? When I die... they're going to call me the national treasure and bury me there and set up a bunch of elaborate riddles. And you're going to find me under a church.
You're going to find my rotting John Voight corpse.
No, Sean Bon.
Oh, Sean Bon.
Yeah, I changed the subject, man. Maybe listen once in a while and hurry up because I'm running out of material. Also, one little thing that I like in this world. If you go on...
You can stop. No.
Okay, thank God. All right, we'll be right back with more Radio Pizza Party.
Yes.
Or as I like to call it, Radio National Trejardy. Bye-bye. Yeah.
LGBTQ2I Night is a positive space for folks to learn about bike maintenance in a relaxed environment led by queer mechanics and volunteers. It takes place on the fourth Wednesday of every month at the Bike Kitchen on UBC's campus. Bring your own bike and fix them with our tools, come with questions and ask away, or learn by watching other folks work on their bikes. Beginners are always welcome. This event is entirely free to attend and there will be free pizza. For more information, visit bikecoop.ca.
Are you looking for a volunteer opportunity that fits your schedule? Being a big sister takes less time than you think, and you can choose the volunteer opportunity that fits your life. Spend just 1 hour a week as a study buddy, tutor, or 2 hours a week as a big sister. Check out the various mentoring programs at Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland and find a volunteer position and a little sister that will suit you to a T. Visit bigsisters.bc.ca for more information today.
Hey, everybody.
Hey. Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back.
Oh, I'm wearing my headphones backwards.
Are you? Welcome back to Radio Pizza Party on CITR 101.9 FM. We're a fun little chat little show.
We're just talking about
stuff. We just like to do little jokes and little LOLs. Usually we have a randomized topic with a guest, but today...
It's just us, and we're talking about things we like, which is National Treasure. Love that movie.
Which we watched National Treasure this week, which I had so many things to do.
And we still watched
it. And we watched National Treasure.
And we are... You know what? You know what that movie's cruising at on IMDb? Not a bruising.
What's it cruising
at? It's a 6.9 on IMDb.
What's that in terms
of... Out of 10.
No, I know, but like what's the... IMDb, sorry. Wonder what the Rotten Tomatoes score is.
I thought the 6.9 part would be funny to you, but apparently you're more mature than I.
I get it
I had a little bit of a crack up on the bus when I read that.
I didn't realize
Yeah, well, man, joke. realize.
It's got 44% on RT, as they say.
Russia Today.
Yes! Yes!
We've done it. We were one mind. All right, what am I thinking?
Russia Today.
Okay, no.
Sputnik.
All right. So when we left the intrepid duo of Gates and Bartha.
They got the clue that they needed to go to.
I think they went to Philly or something.
Yeah, they go to Philly.
Yeah.
There's on a $100 bill.
Yeah, they look at like the arms on a clock and a $100 bill. And then they grab a thing out of a wall.
They just grab some glasses to look at the declaration.
Yeah. Then they find out that they have to go underneath a church in Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
It's
the Trinity Church.
Yeah, Trinity Church, which they actually filmed in a church in L.A. Another thing I learned.
Oh, what the heck?
Yeah.
There's a lot of East Coast in this movie.
There is, because, you know.
Remember that whole thing?
It was the colonies.
That's true. But remember that whole thing when he gets... caught by the FBI?
Yeah.
That was weird.
I was never clear with that. He gets caught by the FBI, and then they're... But he
doesn't... Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. He doesn't have the Declaration of Independence, and the FBI are like, well, how are we going to get it back? And Nicolas Cage isn't like, oh, I'll tell you where he's going next. He's like, you know what you should do? Let me go with him. and I'll lure him around the world or something. He's just like, you know what? Just let me go.
And then they meet on a boat, on a ship in New York, and then
yeah,
and then that was supposed to be like the sting operation. Also, one of the FBI like kind of like guys
yeah
is the cop from Dexter in the first season.
Really?
I forget the name of the character, James something, but he's the infamous surprise guy.
Oh, yeah,
I, you know,
I
can't
say
the next word, but
monkey fighter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. I like Dexter.
Cool. Yeah. Maybe next week we can talk about Dexter.
Next week, sir, we're gonna be talking stir about Dexter.
Yes.
That was a good one. Yeah, I like that one. I'm gonna laugh for a minute.
You still have 59 seconds. Excellent.
Okay, so so they end up in this church. Harvey Keitel's like, you know what?
Harvey Keitel's the leader of the FBI.
I am the leader of the FBI.
Well, he's like the...
Take me to your crimes, please.
He's like the head investigator of this case.
Yeah, he's like the... He's the big boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mindhunter. More like Nicolas Cage Hunter, please.
Oh, I wonder if he ever got mindhunted, Harvey Keitel.
I think it's the same guy, the same universe.
Do you think the Mindhunter and Nicolas Cage universes interconnect?
Yeah, yeah, like how all Nicolas Cage movies intersect. Okay, they end up at the bottom of this church.
That's when it turns... Yeah, they go in this old catacombs, and it's at that point, it's essentially Indiana Jones, like ripping off Indiana Jones to a T.
Yeah, so they're on this giant wooden thing. They have to light this chandelier. They light a wood chandelier on fire.
In a building, a room with all wooden rafters.
That are hundreds of years old and drier than anything.
And they need to walk down them.
Yeah, so they start walking. They're walking around like a certain Chris I know.
I gotta feed them.
And what happens? But the floor falls away a bunch of times. They almost lose the declaration
dies.
Or a bunch of, I don't know, a henchman dies.
Yeah.
They threaten to shoot John Voight. And then they're like.
Just for fun. I mean, I would in that situation.
Yeah. They get to the bottom and Nicolas Cage is like,
hey, man.
It's a dead end because they're in this big empty room.
Yeah.
And Howboy, Jack Howen, is like, all right. Bye-bye.
Stay down here. I go.
Yeah, he's like, I think Nicolas Cage gives him some clue. He's like, wait, it's at so-and-so
it's
church
in Boston.
He
even went like, listen, go down and you get yourself a Boston pizza pie.
You get a wicked Boston pizza pie.
You're going to
get a wicked amount of gold. Wicked smart.
Wicked smart. How do you like these apples?
Ferris Bueller.
Which is in Chicago, actually.
Hey, Chicago.
He's like, there's this guy I know down there named Will Hunting. Maybe give him a call. He'll know a clue or two.
I know a psychologist. His wife just died. Go talk to him for a little bit.
Might know him. Robin Williams.
That's his middle name. David Robin Williams Boreanaz.
Is that the character in that movie?
No.
Oh.
David Boreanaz is from Bones.
How do I know?
I don't know.
Also, there was a few bones in this movie.
Yes, there were. Okay, so Howboy leaves him.
Leaves them. They end up going bye-bye.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Nicolas Cage is like, hey, you know what I did?
I know. That,
I got him.
I know where the thing is.
He pushes through this wall.
And then all the treasures.
And then
there.
There's, and they found it. Yeah. There's the treasure.
And then they give it away
to
the world.
They give 99% of it away. And Riley's like, hey, guys. Okay, so the movie, smash cut two. They're walking around this estate. His face in Abigail Chase, which
Nicolas
is my new band name.
Nicolas Cage is wearing like a sweater with a shirt underneath it.
Yeah.
Like a college shirt.
Also,
he makes a complete wasp turnaround.
We need to talk about the scene in this movie where Nicolas Cage is like, you know what? I'm going to go do something casually. So he wears light wash jeans, a blazer, and a dress shirt with the collar of the dress shirt over the lapel of the blazer like it's 1973.
What scene was this?
I can't remember. I think it's when he's going to go like, it's when they're scoping out the old deck of Ind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then that's when he says the line.
Yeah. He's like, we're going to steal the Declaration.
His I also want to make a comment on Cage's hair.
It's bad.
It's interesting.
It's something. It's bad.
He's thinning. It's,
he's very much thinning, but he has it swept back, and it like gradually tapers as it gets further
and
back.
And he's got like a widow's peak.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what Nicolas Cage looks like, yeah. Most people. Well, if you don't know what Nicolas Cage looks like, look up Widow's Peak. And if you see Dracula, you're pretty close.
Speaking of Twin Peaks,
the cinematographer of the National Treasure, or just National Treasure for the people in the colonies.
For the people in the nose.
The cinematographer is Caleb Deschanel, who you might know as Zoe Deschanel's first of all father. And
who's her second of all father?
Nicolas Cage. I don't know. John Turtleball. I don't know. I can think of something funny. And he also directed a few episodes of Twin Peaks in the second season generally.
Oh, so it's not that good.
Like he could carry the torch pretty good, but
which episodes?
I can't remember. Is it specifics.
In that? Well, we can find out. You have a laptop right in front of you.
That's true.
We could find out because there were some bad episodes of season two of Twin Peaks. Wait. You're talking Twin Peaks to me?
Yeah.
If you're wrong about this,
I'm definitely not wrong.
I'm going to freak out.
No, he directed three episodes, but they don't say which ones on this, at least on this. It's not. Well, I'll look it up in a sec.
Okay.
Yeah, just yawning. Lamming is just so bored of this show already.
I'm done with this. Yeah. So
well, so
more
we've talked a bit about National Treasure. So what would you say, like,
what would I rate it?
No, yeah, what would you, first of all, yeah, like, what would you rate it? And then
what's our scale?
What do you think people should take away from it?
I would take away from it that John is willing to play fast and loose.
Oh, John Coff.
Yeah. With American history.
Because
I'm pretty sure that Ben Franklin never rode a horse.
Really?
I don't know.
How much do you know about American history,
like,
as a history major?
Not a lot. I've never taken an American history course. Oh, okay. I'm taking a Civil War history course next term. But that's not what this show's about.
Well, that would be...
for a new segment. What class is you taking?
So funny.
Hilarious, right?
Tell you right now, my English 406 is a little wacky. If you can't see me, I'm doing like a little bit of jazz
He's
hands.
He's whacking.
Yeah.
He's whacking his head on the table.
Whacking. So, Jack.
Yeah?
We have in front of us...
An opportunity
to... So, Nicolas Cage, in terms of his acting role, how do you think he does?
I'd say he does exactly as well as one could expect Nicolas Cage to do.
Yeah, and he's not in his best. Like, Nicolas Cage can be a really good actor, but like we said,
in Con Air.
Yeah, or like Raising Arizona.
Okay.
Kind of in the 90s, he has a few good movies. Moonstruck? Is that the movie? I know he got like an Academy Award for Leaving Las Vegas.
Let's find out.
It's not important.
It's not important.
Yeah. Right. But this is, yeah, like we said, this is right when he sort of seems to be just doing it for the money because he's got probably some, like, gambling debts or something, I feel.
Yeah, he's millions of dollars in debt.
He's not the best. But what we're going to do today is we're going to do our own rendition of...
Can I play Bartha?
National Treasure. Yeah, so do you know what scene you were thinking of doing?
The scene where they're at the Capitol... And they're looking at the deck. Why don't we go to a break? Because we have like 10 minutes left.
Okay, yeah.
Let's play a song.
That's a good
idea.
We'll
find the scene. And we'll be right back. And we're going to open right back up. No breaks. With our best impressions of the old Barth and Cage. Barth and Benjamin, as I like to call him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. This next little song is by...
This
next little ditty is by a little man with a big heart. We know him affectionately as NM. He does the theme song to our radio show, Radio Pizza Party. It's here at Tier 101.9. This is from his album on Bandcamp called The Kootenays de Mo. Because his name is Mo. Nick Morgan is his name. So we will play Daydreamer, which is a fun little song. And then we'll be back with a rendition of National Treasure.
Bye-bye.
looking around, trying to find a buddy. That's when it happened, we locked eyes. I was now your victim on the road to deep my heart.
Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
This is Hazy. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM. Broadcasting Vancouver's haziest since 1950.
Welcome back to
Radio Pizza
Party.
We're reading a script to National Treasure here. I'm Jack.
And I'm Jad Abu Rod.
Robert Krolwich.
So we are on page, say it one more time for me, please.
Page 27, Kay. Very bottom, scene direction. We're reading a script, National Treasure.
We were reading, so we're going to be doing a rendition of National Treasure. Who's going to be reading this, the scene directions?
I will.
Okay, and then...
You read Ben, I'll read Riley.
Okay, so this is the scene where they basically figure it out.
They figure out how they're going to steal the old Nat deck.
The Nat end.
The deck end. The deck of end. All right.
Yeah.
Close in on a blueprint of the National Archives. We follow Ben's finger as it traces the path down through the rotunda floor and to the vault room right below.
Every night, the Declaration of Independence is lowered down.
Do an impression.
Sorry.
You were confused. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize that it was continued. All right, go.
Oh, sorry.
Speed up, little man.
Where it's locked up in the special designed impenetrable.
Scroll down.
Oh, sorry.
What, do you think I want you to read four words?
Yeah. 10-ton steel vault where it's protected from heat, cold, even 1,000 years of nuclear winter. The entire process takes just 2 minutes.
This is the worst thing that's gonna get ever.
Those 2 minutes, the Declaration of Independence is vulnerable.
So that's when Ian's going to do it?
Doubt it. Doubt it, dude.
I'll do an actual impression. This is an actual impression of what Justin Bartha sounds like.
Okay, I'm trying. A better time would be to create a situation wherein the declaration would be automatically lowered into its vault when the guards aren't there.
Well, Ian'd have to create some external chaos, because there's no way he can hack in.
Why not?
Because most of these old government facilities use the old data link encryption-based security system. Once you're in, you can do whatever you want, but only a handful of people know how to get in.
And would one of those people happen to be someone who gave up a good life at Intel to save his country?
Could be.
Then it looks like we have the edge.
Whoa, wait, whoa, holy... Riley's holy beep echoes loudly through the room. All heads turn to glare at them. Riley lowers his voice.
You just said we. Yeah, as in me and you.
No, nuh-uh. Bad idea.
What's bad? We take it first so Ian can't steal it.
You're right. That's not a bad idea. It's an extremely horrible get your...
I think you can say that word.
For life in prison idea.
It's the only way to protect it.
How did we go from let's stop Ian to let's take it ourselves?
You got a better idea?
As a matter of fact, I do. Interior, National Archives, Office Lobby, Day. Ben and Riley wait. Dr. Abigail Chase, Charters of Freedom Custodian, is stenciled on the office door.
You want me to do the talking?
No, this is my idea. You'll try to make it sound crazy. Just then, a bookishly beautiful... Oh, come on. Dr. Abigail Chase, 26.
She's 26?
Opens her
office
door.
That seems very young for a PhD.
For a PhD and a job at the National Archive. All right. She sees Ben and Riley. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Please come in. Ben and Riley exchange a look. She's prettier than they expected her to be. See?
Oh,
this is so gross. Interior, National Archives, office, Day. Abigail moves to her desk as Ben and Riley enter her office, which is decorated with colonial art and Revolutionary War era artifacts. Thanks for seeing us on such short notice, Chase.
Can I be Abigail now? So.
Yes.
So, what can I do for you today?
Ben eyes Riley like, go on. Okay, this is going to sound crazy, but somebody's going to try to steal the Declaration of Independence. She regards them disdainfully. She gets this all the time.
All the time.
All the time. All right.
All terrorist threats must be reported directly to the FBI.
Is she Mrs. McGonagall?
Let me get their number.
She goes to get her number, but is stopped by... This isn't a terrorist threat. The people behind it are treasure hunters, because that makes sense.
And they want to steal the Declaration of Independence because...
Riley looks to Ben, but Ben looks away to a framed antique button collection hanging on the wall.
Reluctantly say this.
Reluctantly. Because there's a treasure map on the back.
Is this a joke?
We just found proof of it in a ship that was wrecked over 200 years ago.
I see. Well...
Do a German accent.
I can't.
Do you want me to?
No, I've seen the back of the Declaration. I can't do a German accent.
Well, I've seen the back of the Declaration
of Independence.
Okay, let me try
that. Well, I've seen the back of the Declaration of Independence, and I assure you, there is no map.
Really? You sure? All right, we should stop this. It's 6:59.
Let's just do to Ben when Ben comes, like, just a few, like, just after.
Okay. You just said absolutely. I've seen it many times.
Yeah, it's
all take over is Ben.
Wait, what?
Have you ever touched it?
Of course not. I don't know what this voice I'm doing is.
It's so bad.
No one touches it. There's a sealed, bulletproof thermofane case.
That must frustrate you. Seeing something every day and not being able to touch it.
Gross. There's
oh God.
This
There's
is seen
an undeniable
so...
charm about Ben, but Abigail does her best to shrug it off.
Ew. Oh, I'm done there.
Yeah, let's call it. All right. This has been one of our greatest eps.
This sort of stuff was not conveyed in the movie. Like, the undeniable charm of Ben, I feel like that
there
is...
There was very deniable charm.
Yeah.
Like, it sort of came out of nowhere. They just sort of made out towards the very end of the movie and then married.
Yeah, they're like going through the thing. He's like, wait, stop. Touched my tongue to this thing.
Ew.
I know.
All right. Okay. Yeah. This has been great. This is a wild time. We got to talk about
wild times
a casually sexist movie from the early 2000s. which is my idea of a fun Friday night.
Sure is. Well, that has been Radio Pizza Party. Next up, I believe we have David Love Jones, who is notably doing African rhythms.
As he notably does.
As he notably does. but thanks for listening. I think do we need to figure out the name for this episode? I think it's self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. We'll be here next week. Yes, next week.
Yes.
Yes, week.
It's exam week, so don't expect us to be very... I mean, I don't think people have any expectations.
No,
but don't expect
after
us
today,
to be
their expectations are...
Bye-bye. But expect us to be on full fighting form next week, because I'm going to fight you if you give us a bad review on iTunes.
Sure will.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Want. Then you're not really gonna have too far to fall.